Hi, I'm Nicholas Chakos, Executive Director of Focus North America, an Orthodox Christian organization that works with homeless and working poor families in the United States. I'd like you to join with Orthodox parishes and communities nationwide as we launch our biggest initiative to date, Operation Lace Up. Focus has partnered with the Tom's Shoe Company to give new gym shoes to 192,000 homeless children in 28 cities so that they can be ready to go back to school this fall. Operation Lace Up will empower children to take steps toward an education and out of the generational cycle of poverty. Visit www.focusnorthamerica.org to find out how you can get involved and help homeless children in your city by giving them the resources they need to succeed in school and in life.
I'll have to say this, that being involved in prison ministry shaped my heart as a priest. Mm. Prior to that, I was maybe too much into myself before I got out of my comfort zone. Going into the prison, the teacher becomes the student.
This week on Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, we begin a new series dealing with the subject of addictions. There are all kinds of addictions, aren't there, that rob us of our time, that control us, that imprison us. We're going to hear a couple of conversations about that subject today, dealing specifically with a few targeted addictions and the reasons for their power over us.
You know, if you want to tighten it up very succinctly, in dealing with somebody as an addict is somebody who, when you encounter them, you start dealing with them, you realize that they're emotionally immature. Mm-hmm. When addiction takes over, it arrests the development of the personality.
Well, we have a very broad-reaching topic that we're going to explore on this edition of Come Receive the Light, and we'll continue, as I said, throughout the month, covering this topic in a variety of ways. Are you an addict? Are you addicted to something? I've known several people, as a matter of fact, who had to have a certain soft drink throughout the day. I mean, some of them even had to start the day off with it. That sounds strange, doesn't it? But how about coffee? How about games, online games, internet games, computer games? And then more seriously, pornography or alcohol. How about food addictions? Addictions control us in certain ways, don't they? They grab hold of our lives and limit certain aspects of who we are. Well, we're going to get into prison ministry and have a very brief conversation with a gentleman who has committed his life to dealing with prisoners who are controlled, very much so, within the four walls of a prison. Do stay tuned if you can, and let your friends know about Come Receive the Light. Now, if you're brand new, go to our website at myocn.net, OCN for Orthodox Christian Network. That's myocn.net, and you'll learn a whole lot more about us than you will just through this brief 25 minutes together. The first conversation I want to jump into, and really we're just going to jump in and out of it because it's a much longer discussion than we have time for here on the broadcast, but one of our good friends for the ministry, Representative or former Representative Bill Hinkle, he was a state representative for 10 years in the Washington State House. He was at the Antiochian Archdiocese National Convention recently in Houston and sat down with Father John Kowalczyk, who is a member of the board of the Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry, or OCPM, and pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Christian Church in German. And he's also the field education director for St. Tikhon's Orthodox Seminary, where his primary role is the training of future clergy in parish ministry, which dovetails with prison ministry. And I'm going to pick it up right where he left off as we began the broadcast.
What I found were individuals who were real. Mm-hmm. When you go to prison, they don't say, let's pretend I'm an inmate.
Right.
They're an inmate. They know they've committed a crime. When you meet them, it's really the ministry of presence. And the ministry of presence becomes a sacred encounter. Mm. The greatest thing you can give someone in life is not money, not gifts, but time. time is a precious commodity. And you know what I will say also? That we're all doing time. God gives us so much time on this earth, right? But what we have to do is make this time sacred. Going into the prison made me realize what a gift that I have in time. God has blessed me with this time.
This is great. I'm talking with Father John Kowalczyk with Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry. They're out of Fleetwood, Pennsylvania, and it's a great ministry that is supported by the Assembly of Canonical Orthodox Bishops of North and Central America. Tell me about a changed life that you've heard or seen just recently.
I would like to maybe just add, before I started getting involved 27 years ago, I would come out and answer the question, but I would say embracing the gospel. You just can't embrace the gospel. We're constantly embracing the gospel. I met a young man 2 weeks ago on the forensic unit where I work at SCI Waymart. First name is Anthony, I can say this. He's a young man who's intellectually challenged, is having a difficult time in life, came from a broken family, dysfunctional in many ways, is illiterate, came up to me, and his first words were to me, "Father John, what do you got in your refrigerator?" Now, my reaction...
Pardon me for laughing, but...
It's humorous, but I've gotten so many sermons out of that. For the listening audience out there, I want to say this. You open your refrigerator maybe 10, 15 times a day. This young man, Anthony, has not seen a refrigerator in at least 5 years.
Wow.
And when he saw a refrigerator, it was a refrigerator at home with probably spoiled food. When you're incarcerated, you're limited on your choices. You have no choices. You're totally depersonalized. You sort of become Pavlovian in many ways. You know, people tell you what you're going to eat. But he came to me with that, "Father John, what do you have in your refrigerator?" I looked at it and said, "Anthony, it's not my refrigerator. It's my heart. What do I have in my heart? How can I open my heart to you? How can I tell you the good news of Jesus Christ when you've been beaten down all your life, when you've been strung out on drugs, when your parents, whatever relationship they had, was broken? You've been derailed in life. What can I give you?" I give him the commodity that doesn't cost much. It's time. And I spend time with him, and I pray with him. I don't know if he fully understands the prayers.
Sure.
But that doesn't matter. God hears our prayers. And so I find myself in circles, like with inmate Anthony on the forensic unit. And it really tests my own faith, my own sort of orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. But you have to go outside of the liturgy. You have to go outside of our liturgical structure to look for people like Anthony. And when you find someone like him, you embrace him. Mm. You love him. Hold him up in prayer. So when I celebrate the liturgy, and when I make the exclamation, "Blessed is the kingdom of the Father and of the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen," I include not just my people that are in church, who have the honor and the privilege and the ability to be in church because of their circumstances. They can organize themselves. They're free to come to church. But I include people like Anthony, and I make a mental review of of God's children. He is a child of God. And you know what? People like Anthony, the reason I embrace him, because he's seizing the kingdom of God ahead of me.
Yeah, isn't that something?
You know, I've spent a little time on that website for the Orthodox Christian Prison Ministries, OCPM, and it is simply theorthodoxprisonministry.org. We'll have a link to that, by the way, on our website at MyOCN. And there are many unbelievable stories of how the Lord has turned lives around through the ministry of the Orthodox Prison Ministry. So check them out on the website. Perhaps this is an area where you might want to get involved. Again, that's theorthodoxprisonministry.org. And as I said, go to our website if you've missed that at myocn.net, and we'll have the link on the Come Receive the Light page. Now, we're into August, and what that means is we only have a few more weeks of the matching grant offer. Now, we're a nonprofit ministry, a 501c3, and that means simply that we look to you for our financial support. We look to you to become a partner with us and help in this worldwide outreach. And any contribution you make during the month of August will be doubled, will be matched. So consider how you might be involved. Perhaps you've already given. Maybe there's another contribution you can make, or at least share the ministry with your friends. We do need your help, and the month of August is the end of this matching grant contribution that a very generous donor has set forward for us. And now with our feature conversation for this week, here is our host, Father Christopher Metropoulos.
My guest is Father George Acquaro of St. Matthew Antiochian Orthodox Christian Church in Torrance, California. He's also the author of a blog entitled Orthodoxy and Recovery, a blog about the direct connection between spirituality of Orthodox Christianity and recovery from alcoholism, drug abuse, and other addictions. Father George, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
This is going to be an interview rich with content. I know that. How much do we as a church need to be involved in addiction issues, Father? I mean, aren't there 12-step groups and rehab groups and all that out there?
Well, I think there's two sides to it. The first side is that the treatment of illness, and particularly spiritual illness, has always been something that the church has been deeply involved in throughout its history. If you look at the history of the Byzantine Empire and the Roman Empire, as it were, the whole system within the empire of hospitals was run through the church. Mm-hmm. It's only been in this modern era where churches have largely abdicated that role to private enterprise, and even now the state, as the government, has taken over. But at a fundamental level, addiction is a spiritual illness, and it requires spiritual treatment. And therefore, you know, when we look at the Orthodox Church as bearing the Spirit of God, the Church has a role in helping all people to emerge from burdens of both, I think, spiritual and physical ailments. We, of late, have kind of abdicated that role. We've let our states, our governments, take over that position. And there's been some successes and there's been a lot of progress in that area, but I think that there's some critical issues that are missing, and particularly now we're seeing an explosion worldwide of addictions problems, more than just simply alcoholism and drugs, but we're seeing behavioral addictions such as gambling, pornography and sex, food addictions.
Father, is it more because we know about it now because of the media and communication, or is it really more? What do you think?
I think that it's really more.
Okay.
I think that what has happened is, as secularism has risen up, and how the modern world has been more and more separated itself from God and pushed God out, people are still naturally hungry for it. That's why addiction is intrinsically connected to spirituality.
Okay.
And as people depart further and further and further from God, you're seeing these addictions increase, even when they're being separated from what I think we as a church would consider to be, you know, heretical beliefs. We could see that even, you know, to some extent, even a heretical view of God is better than an absolute atheistic view of the world. And it is destroying people. So we are seeing this happen more and more. And as a church here in America, it has been very easy for us to, when our people become sick, is to send them off to AA or NA or any in one of the 12-step groups or a Minnesota model-based treatment program, which eventually passed them into 12-step. And it's very easy for us to pass people off in that direction. But what I've found in talking to people who are actually in the recovery community is once they start to really get into the 12 steps and they begin to encounter what they know as the anonymous God, the God that you don't call by a specific name necessarily, but they know that he's the one who's healing them, who's rescuing them from their disease on a daily basis, they want more. They want more of God. And you know, we have the fullness of the faith. We have this incredible gift, and I've encountered through my blog and just through, you know, natural contacts a number of people who are coming into the Orthodox Church through these 12-step programs saying, wow, this is everything that AA or NA or these programs promise as far as this spiritual connection to God.
Well, it takes people out of, I mean, I have to be very blunt here. Most of the programs that I have encountered anyway are good for a Band-Aid, and they do some good, but they treat the person as a kindergartner, first grade, second grade. And what we're presenting them with the Ancient Historical Church of Christ is right through high school, into college, into real life, where there's a balance of mind, body, and soul. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that 100%, and in fact, I'd say that would be part of our problem as a church here in the United States. Is we are in some ways very much an elite church. The people that we tend to attract as converts are those who are well-to-do, well-read, interested in all of this higher theology, and as a result, our churches can become, as individual communities, as parishes, is become elitist. And we don't deal with people who are in that kindergarten, preschool, first grade, second, who are really struggling with the basics of life and survival.
I think you're right there. You hit it right on the head. Let's look at Scripture for a moment. I mean, what does Scripture teach us about this, the nature of addiction?
It's kind of hard to draw an exact parallel to our terminology with how the church has traditionally approached this area. We have addiction as a separate category unto itself. It's like its own thing. Even though if you talk to addictions professionals, you know, you say, how can you really tell where someone is an addict versus when they're not? And him and haw that there isn't really a point where, you know, there's a definite point where, let's say, with another disease, you're infected with HIV. But there's another point where you have a cancer cell. And addiction is blurry. The lines are hard to read until the disease is, let's say, full-blown. And the church, I think, takes that much more natural approach that addiction is kind of the end of a spectrum. If you can look at the problem of human sin and fallenness is a rainbow, and you know, there's color bands in the rainbow, but the lines between them are kind of blurry. It's the same approach to addiction. There is a you don't have that word addict. You know, no matter which way you try to work it into the scriptures, there's talk about being a drunkard or drunkenness, but you don't see that specifically discussed. Yet we all understand in human fallenness that there is this point where what St. Paul talks about, the things I want to do, I don't do, I don't want to do, I do. And this is that description of that problem where the will becomes broken and man finds himself engaging in behaviors even though he doesn't want to. There's that overwhelming sense of temptation. And this is where, when we start to look at the distortions of the human person that the fall brings about, every human being has the precursor conditions of fallenness. Every person has that ability to potentially go far enough to become an addict. This is why you can have people who have none of the indicators of addictions. But let's say, for example, and this is very common these days, someone will have an injury and they'll start taking these high-level prescription painkillers,
sure,
your oxycodones and things like that, and you instantly become physically addicted in ways that wine or, you know, any of the let's say the older drugs, you know, simply couldn't give you that kind of effect. And then they get hooked, and then all of a sudden the prescription runs out, the doctor cuts you off.
The narcotics seem to be more insidious than a wine, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Right?
They have a far greater chemical effect on the body. And that physical addiction can become so powerful that in fighting with it, you begin to accrue the emotional and the mental suffering that then brings about all of the groundwork where someone becomes a full addict. And being in the Orthodox Church and everything else isn't going to cure us of that problem, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have people who are becoming hooked on prescription meds, and that leads to, then they can't get their prescription filled, so they turn to something else, and the next thing is you just have a snowball effect.
Yeah, it's a spiral downwards. Let's move to the fathers of the church. John Chrysostom wrote a sermon about alcoholism, didn't he? Even though that term, I don't think it'd been invented then.
No, but he describes, you know, he's described actually in a number of his sermons, and a lot of the fathers have talked about the problem of drunkenness. And it's the depiction of it, you know, and the problem of this, the degradation of the person, and I think what's interesting is you can look at those sermons written 1500. You could go back and look at the scriptures themselves and the descriptions that are going on there, and you can see in there the things that we now have specific labels for, you know, addiction or denial.
Mm-hmm.
Denial is a big one. That's a big feature in there. The drunkard is engaging in behavior that's all nobody notices, and in fact it becomes this public spectacle.
How do we? I'm just looking at the issue in general terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is there a group of people, I don't know how to put this, Father, but is there a group of people, a type of person that is more prone to addiction? Has that study come out where you say, okay, a person has this characteristic and therefore they're prone to it? I'm sure at some point we're going to know through our DNA and all that stuff.
You know, there are things that are obvious that when you're dealing with addicts that you can see in their personalities that they're impatient, they have ego management issues where they go from extremes.
Mm-hmm.
They often will call an alcoholic or an addict an egomaniac with an inferiority complex.
Okay. So
there's a lot of these kind of extremes. You know, if you want to tighten it up very succinctly in dealing with somebody, an addict is somebody who, when you encounter them, you start dealing with them, you realize that they're emotionally immature.
Mm-hmm.
When addiction takes over, it arrests the development of the personality. And so you find in addicts that there's an inability for them to handle issues that we generally would deal with by saying, well, you need to grow up.
Right. That would be the response, yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't work, but that's the response.
Right. So that's what we're kind of looking at. And unfortunately, this is the problem with modern culture, and this is something that the church, I think, can answer, is modern culture has now sort of enshrined and created a kind of an idol out of immaturity. Look at how many popular movies involve an immature male or female as kind of the heroine. You know?
It's amazing.
There's guys out there
like
Adam Sandler who's made an entire career out of being the man boy.
Yes, yes. Never growing up, always acting like a child.
Right.
Drinking, all kinds of, ridiculous behavior that at that point, I don't know what kind of role model they are for anybody.
Right. Yeah. But there was a time where we had this idea of what manhood and womanhood was about, and it was about maturity and everything else. We're losing all of that.
Right.
So people don't even know what it is to be a grown-up and to be personally responsible. And this can hide these precursors of addiction where if you're no longer responsible for the things that are going on around you and even your behavior, that irresponsibility, that immaturity then can free one up to begin to engage in these behaviors that eventually lead to addiction.
I can sleep a lot better tonight, Father, with what you just said, because I sometimes wonder if I'm cracking up with what I see out there. But you've just solidified what I've been thinking a long time in very few words.
Well, I think, Father, that this is one of the things that Orthodoxy does as a church is it presents a vision of maturity, a vision of dignity that is, you see all of these other churches that are out there losing that, where everything has become how can we get more informal? How can we get more with it and cool? And, we're kind of the stubborn remnant. And I think this is a sign of something that God wants us to do as a prophetic ministry to the world now, is to show what self-control, what maturity, what honor and dignity looks like. Mm-hmm. Because, again, when you go back to, I think the Orthodox Church, I believe in this country, all of us, and I'm seeing this happen in all of our parishes, is we're looking for ways to serve. And this is where we see the church come up with things like the Orthodox Christian Mission Center, the IOCC, all of these other means in which we can serve others. One of the things that we can serve is that we have a prophetic calling to show what it is to be an adult, because people are forgetting.
That's beautiful.
And this has become a real problem when you're dealing with addicts. They will get sober, but they don't know how to behave as an adult because they simply grew up around a bunch of people who are busy not being adults.
Well, let me ask you this. Are there any lessons or sayings that come from the world of addiction recovery that you wish everyone used and applied to their life, Father?
Well, there's a long list.
Give me two.
I think the first one is one day at a time, which means letting go, letting God. That is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also remembering the serenity prayer, because so much of what we often get tempted to do is trying to change other people rather than realizing the only person that I can change is myself. And that, that serenity prayer of God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Father, if there's someone listening to this program and wondering if they have a problem with a kind of addiction, where should they start? What would be the first thing to do as your final question?
Well, I think the first thing is to go to your priest. Talk to your priest about it. A lot of priests, I think many who graduated in seminary in the last decades, are familiar with this. You can also go to a 12-step group and come in, because they're really pretty good at talking to you and listening and hearing what you have to say and saying whether, you may want to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's my hope that we can start working on an international level with our brethren in all of the Orthodox churches, because all of the Orthodox churches are struggling with these issues, mm-hmm. that we can kind of work together for some common models that we can start using here.
Very good. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Father. It was a pleasure.
There is a blog where you can learn more about Father Aquarius's work at orthodoxyandrecovery.blogspot.com. That's orthodoxyandrecovery, all one word, .blogspot.com. By the way, we have a marvelous blog on the OCN website at myocn.net. It's called The Sounding, and you can link to it when you get to the homepage. That's myocn.net. Don't forget that we're in the last few weeks of our matching grant offer. Any contribution you make to the ministry will be matched. So you can take your dollars and multiply them by two when you support our work here at the Orthodox Christian Network. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. I'm Mike Trout. Thanks, as always, to Ann Dankert for her work as executive producer. And remember, join us next week. And have faith in what you listen to.